I am thankful for the assurance tonight that we can each one make it to heaven by the power of God. If you are struggling tonight, or you question whether or not you can make it, there is strength and power available that each one of us can make it to heaven. But we're going to have a purpose and a desire to make heaven above everything else. And if there's anything tonight that you are holding on to, that you're not willing to consecrate and give to the Lord, that might be the very thing that will hinder you from making it to heaven. So the song, the first song that was sung said, help me out, in the chorus, I'd never trade heaven for the world, didn't it say? At the end. I wouldn't trade heaven. Is there anything that you're willing to trade heaven for tonight? Is there anything in our life that is so important that we would rather hold on to it in this life that is so fleeting and miss heaven? Or are we willing to acknowledge tonight that, you know what, more than anything else, I want to go to heaven? Desire and interest in your prayers, we look into the Word. Renee, if you could write the title for me. The title of the message tonight is Burn It and Make It a Heap. Burn it and make it a heap. I would tonight that by the end of this service, and I'm speaking figuratively, but actually literally might be all right, that we go out and have some bonfires tonight. There are some things that the Lord would like us to burn up that are in our life. If there is anything tonight that is a hindrance to you spiritually, the Lord wants us to make a decision and quit waffling in our desires and burn it and make it a heap. So there's some scripture. If you will turn with me to the book of Joshua in the 8th chapter, give a little bit of preview, a little preface to this. The children of Israel had been in Egypt. You know the story, the Lord had brought them out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And eventually they came to the Jordan River. And they crossed over the Jordan River. And they came over and there was the city of Jericho that was a great walled city. You know, the first thing I want us to realize this evening and remind us of, that in life, even in our service to the Lord, there are going to be some walled cities. There are going to be some things that you encounter in your life that are going to challenge, they're going to challenge you spiritually. And there's going to be some areas, just because we're saved doesn't mean the fight's over. It really means when we get saved, the fight is just beginning. Because when we are not saved, we've already given in to the power of the enemy. And the Lord wants us to be fighting against the enemy tonight. How have you been fighting? Are you in a fight tonight? Amen. If you're not fighting, it means you probably conceded some things to the enemy. It means you've probably already given in to some things. Well, they came to Jericho, and God gave them instruction of how to... That feels really good. The Lord gave them instruction to tell them how to conquer their enemy, didn't He? Yeah. And when the children of Israel obeyed the Lord and they marched around that city one time a day until the seventh day, they marched around the city seven times. You remember what happened to the walls? I know there's more of you than two that know. What happened to the walls of Jericho? They fell down, didn't they? Do you know that tonight, if we will do what the Word of God teaches us, there are some walled cities that will fall. Amen. Yes. There are some walls, the things that have hindered us spiritually, yes, maybe for many years. Yep. If we will tonight say, Lord, I'm tired of the walled cities in my life, and I'm going to submit and I'm going to do it your way, there is a deliverance and a victory that God has. But I believe there are too many fortified cities in people's lives that have been there year after year. And it's time for us tonight to say yes to God. I'm going to yield myself to you. And there's some victories in store.
Amen.
There are some walls that God wants to fall tonight. Well, they had a great victory that day. But the story wasn't over. God had given them instruction, and as you will remember, Achan did not follow the instruction of the Lord. He kept back some of those garments. He kept some of the silver and gold, and God said, I don't want you to keep anything. How much of the world does God want us to keep in our lives tonight?
None.
God wants us to turn our back on the sinful things of the world and follow Him. And tonight, if we are not willing to let loose of the things of this world, it is going to hinder us from living a victorious life. And we can continue to come to church services. We can continue to have a profession, but all the time when there are areas in our life that we're having these repeated failures and repeated defeats in our life, we need to start examining what's in the camp. Is there something that I've been keeping in my home, in my life, that God said, I want you to get rid of it? Well, the Lord revealed the sin that was in the camp. But before that happened, there was another city. You know, after you conquer one city, you're going to find there's another battle. We're never going to be without battles, folks, until we get to heaven. Don't be discouraged because of the battle. There's going to be a fight. And yet, they went out without consulting the Lord. We just won a mighty victory at Jericho, and Ai was a very small place. So they thought, well, we just conquered that. Surely we can do that. And they went out in their own strength and in their own ability without consulting God. And if you remember the story, they lost. This small inferior force sent them running, and it caused them to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, what happened? Sin was revealed in the camp. When it was eradicated, the scripture, and this is where we're going to pick up in the 8th chapter, Joshua consulted the Lord. Joshua was not willing to go out any longer. Saints, tonight, we can have a history of serving God. And we can have a history as a people or as a family of being good, moral, conservative, God-fearing people. But if we fail to continually consult the Lord in what His plan is for our life, we're going to find somewhere along the line, we're going to start losing some battles. We need to stay reliant on the Lord, because when we're not, that makes us become self-righteous, doesn't it? Self-righteousness is about what I can do. It's about how spiritual I am. It's about how strong I am. And the Lord's really done a lot for me in the past, and I can handle this now. That's self-righteousness. And when we get that kind of attitude, we are setting ourselves up for some spiritual failure. But Joshua came back to the Lord, and he consulted the Lord. And this is what God said. The Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go to Ai. Go back to where you just lost the battle. Don't be afraid. I'm going to go with you this time. We may look at our past defeats and say, I've been there before, and I have failed, and I'm afraid to go for it. Folks, with God, we can conquer the things that have been a source of failure in the past. If there is a place of repeated failure in your life tonight, there is a place that God wants to give you a victory tonight if you'll do it according to His Word. So He said, go out, don't be afraid, I'm going to go with you. I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city, and thou shalt do to Ai. Now, here's some instruction that God gave to them. Thou shalt do to Ai and to her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Don't spare the enemy. I do not want you to leave anything. Now, I've given you some things you can take for a prey, but unto the people, unto the enemy, do not leave the enemy alive. Why are so many people struggling tonight spiritually? It's because we are trying too often to negotiate with the enemy. And I'm not without being political here. Do you know we can make all of the negotiations with the Taliban in Afghanistan? But that story is not over. And I can about tell you there's a handwriting on the wall of what's going to happen. We can negotiate with the enemy. We can make alliances with the enemy. We can say we can have some give and take. You know, we'll give this up and you give this up. Folks, when it comes to serving God, we need to quit negotiating with the enemy.
Yes, amen.
The world is not your friend.
That's right.
And the devil wants to come in and make you think that you can take some of the world and have the fun part and not have the consequences that come with it.
Yes.
The world is not your friend tonight, and the sinful things of the world are going to end up conquering your soul. We need to stop negotiating tonight with the enemy. If you can't, don't take anything else home with you tonight. I trust that you will go home knowing that you need to stop negotiating with the enemy.
Yes.
He's always going to come out on top when you negotiate. The Lord said, told them, go, and I want you to kill all the enemy. Don't leave any of them alive. Well, no truce with them. In the 8th verse, it said, and it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I've commanded you. You understand what he told them to do? I want you to go and I want you to kill the enemy. And I want you to set the city on fire. I don't want you to leave the city there. I want you to burn it. I want you to get rid of it. I don't want you just to kill the enemy. I want you to kill where the enemy lives. I want you to burn where the enemy lives. I don't want there to be a fortified place that's where the enemy worked from, where all of his resources, all of his strength, all of his supplies, God said, I want you to burn the city. I trust we're going to start to see some parallels here spiritually. Well, moving on down to the 18th verse. The Lord said to Joshua, and God gave them instruction, and you can read what else happened on your own time. But the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. He stretched out his hand. You know what he was doing? He was identifying the enemy. Do you know where the enemy is in your life tonight? If you don't know where he is, I assure you he is there. We need to recognize where the enemy is and we need to point him out. This is the enemy working in my life.
Yes.
To him that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed lest he fall. In other words, we need to be aware and recognize that we have an enemy tonight that's fighting against us. And we need to be able to point him out. I would just ask tonight, and I'm not, you don't need to respond, but if the Lord came along and said, do you know where the enemy is? Can you point out where the enemy's working in your life? You know, we're not going to ever have victory if we cannot do what they did. He said, point your spear towards Ai. That's your enemy. Where's your enemy tonight? Do you know that we all have different strongholds in places in our life of weakness? There are different areas in our life where the enemy's working, but we do have an enemy. But when we begin to get complacent and we fall back, and I've been saved for 45 years, and I've been going to church with these holy people for a long time, and everything's good. Folks, I've got an enemy that has a trap laid for me. And I need to recognize where the enemy is working, because if I want to get victory over the enemy, I'm going to have to know where he's working. Point your sword. Point your spear towards Ai. Instruction from the Lord. Well, moving down to the 19th verse. He said the ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran, and as soon as he stretched out his hand, they entered the city and they took it. I want you to listen to what they did. It said they hasted and set the city on fire. They started to burn it. They did not sit around and say, well, what should we do? How do we handle this? God had already told them what to do. He said, I want you to burn the city. And it said they went with haste and burned the city. One of the reasons that so many people have an up and down experience is because they're not quick to obey what God told them to do. When the Lord says to forsake sin, He meant exactly what He said. When He said to take up your cross daily and follow Me, that's exactly what He meant. When He said to forsake the world, that's exactly what He meant. We need to go with haste tonight and burn the city. Get rid of the things that are unlike God in our life. Quit negotiating with the things that keep pulling you back in failure. I've watched many, many people, and they have an up and down experience. And my question is, why is it you fail? What was the cause? And they say, well, such and such. Why is such and such still in our life? If there's something that has been a perpetual problem for you spiritually, get it out of your life tonight. Amen. Quit negotiating with the world. Quit negotiating with the enemy. There are some things that we do control in moderation and temperance, but there are other things that are detrimental to us spiritually, and we need to get rid of it. Yes. We need to burn it. And then people wonder, why isn't God anointing? Why don't I have the joy of the Lord? Because you're not burning the enemy. You're not burning the strongholds of the enemy. You're negotiating. I can serve the Lord, and I can also have some of this worldliness in my life. Folks, God does not compromise with the world. Is that right? God does not compromise with the world. And people say, well, the church just doesn't have the anointing that it used to. No, God's people do. The question is, do you tonight? Yes. We need to eradicate the enemy out of our life. And if it's not holy and it's not pure, get out. Get that out of your life. But we say, well, I think I'll try to just control it a little bit better. What are we trying to control the enemy for? The Lord said to kill it, acknowledge where it is, and burn the city. Don't give the enemy a forum to work in your life tonight. Amen. Too many times we're giving the enemy room to work in our life. We're giving him ammunition to work in our lives. And so that's why the Lord said burn the city. The Lord is interested in our spiritual victory tonight. Yes. Yes. He's interested in us being victorious, but we have something to do with that now. So it said they hasted and they set the city on fire. They did not supply. I would ask in your life tonight, do you have some places the enemy has fortified? Places he has his ammunition stored, and every time you start losing the victory, you know where it's coming from? Why are we leaving the enemy place in our life to store his ammunition? Why? We need to burn the city. We need to burn it. Moving on to verse 20, it said, when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw and beheld the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people fled to the wilderness. In other words, the enemy did not have a place to go back to. Folks, we need to get rid of the places the enemy has fortified. They burned the city, and the enemy had to head to the wilderness. They had to head away from the place that they had one time dwelt. Because now they had no place to abide. They had no fortified location anymore. Where are the strongholds? I'm going to give you a few examples in just a little bit. We'll put some meat on the bones tonight. The Spirit of the Lord wants to identify. Yes. And my words are not capable, because we all fight different things, but we do have a common enemy tonight. Right. I'm interested in us making it to heaven. Yes. I'm interested in us having more power with God as a people. I'm interested in God blessing your homes and your family in a greater way. We're interested in the Lord blessing your marriages in a greater way. But there are too many strongholds that people have been negotiating with the enemy. And we need to get rid of that. We need to burn it. We need to get rid of all of those powers. Well, they went out then. The enemy lost their courage. And to summarize it, verse 21 and 22, they slew the men of Ai. According to the word of God, they slew the men of Ai, and they let none of them remain or escape. I'd like to draw your focus now to the 26th verse. It said, for Joshua drew not his hand back. Now, do you remember he had a spear in his hand, and he had it pointed to Ai? It said he drew not back his hand, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Do you know that every victory is not won with one trip down to the altar? It's a place to start tonight. It's a place to start to come and get fortified in the Lord, to go home and keep fighting your battles. But here, there are some things where the enemy works in our life that we consecrate and we dedicate and we get some victories, but I don't want to let up until I have complete victory. Amen. Which means on a daily basis, I want to keep my spear pointed at the enemy. This is a place that has been weak in my life. So Lord, today would you strengthen me and help me to be aware that this is where the enemy's worked in the past. And so Joshua kept his spear pointed until Ai was completely destroyed. And then in verse 28, and that brings us to the title of the message tonight, Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. He got rid of it. He burned it up and he made it a heap. In other words, it was a memory. When they walked by and said, Dad, what is that over there? That was a place the enemy used to be fortified, and we conquered it by the power of God. Amen. Tonight, the Lord wants you to burn some things. He wants us to get some things out of our lives that have been hindering us spiritually, and he wants us to make it a heap. In other words, it's not fortified anymore. It's just a memory. It's a place we can point to and say, God did something here. And don't stop tonight until the battle is won. There are some battles that you're going to face in life, again, that are, the devil's going to keep coming back. And you have to keep your spear pointed, keep fighting, and you will win the victory. The enemy will start losing his power, saints. But we're going to have to be willing to do our part. I believe that this lie, herein lies a lot of people struggle spiritually. Yes. They're not willing to burn it and make it a heap. This is what the religious world has done. We can still kind of have some things of the world and still profess Christ. And you know what Jesus said? He said, no man can what?
Serve.
No man can serve two masters. You know, that's still applicable to us in this generation. We cannot serve two masters, folks. We're going to have to make a decision. Are you wanting to serve God, or are you wanting to go the way of the world? Do you want your home to be a refuge that God can put His stamp of holiness onto the Lord? Or do you want your home to be a place that you're still feeding your children on the things of the world? That's up to you now. This is personal tonight, because it's not going to serve any purpose for you to change your life to come up to the expectation of any ministry. It's not going to make any difference in your life to make adjustments and make changes in how you've been living and places you've been going and what you've been watching and things you've been listening to and what you've been wearing to try to conform to some of God's people. Because if you do it for that reason, it's not really from the heart. And that's bondage.
Amen.
Young people, you listen to your parents. You do what the rules of the home are. But you need a personal experience with God, that I've got sent for God for myself. And I'm doing this now because I want to make heaven. It goes beyond what mom and dad said. It goes beyond what I heard the preacher say. This becomes personal.
Yes.
That's what will stand the test of time tonight. It becomes personal. Well, don't draw your hand back until it's destroyed. So where's your AI tonight? Is that a fair question? Where's your AI? See, I don't really have one. You actually do. You do. But if you don't recognize it, you are already in trouble. You're already in trouble. We need to recognize where the enemy's working, folks. Where's your AI? And then the question is, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Why is AI still standing in so many lives after so many years? If you just left Egypt, of course Jericho and AI are still there. Mm-hmm. When you cross the Jordan River, Jericho and AI are still there. Yes. But once you have conquered Jericho, why is AI still standing? There is a need for us to move forward in the Lord tonight. Yes. But too many people are stagnant in their experience and they're not growing because they're not burning it and making it a heap. They're negotiating with the enemy. Well, you know, there are people that have addictions to things. Do you know that the essence of an addiction is something that controls you? Uh-huh. You don't control the addiction. Any addictions tonight? You say, well, saints don't have addictions. Yes, they do. And they need to be burned and made a heap of.
That's right.
Things that you have to have. Things that control, that affect your emotions and your moods, that you are reliant on, that are controlling you and hindering you spiritually. Yes. Now, this is between you and God. It's not for me to make a list of rules on the board. It's not going to affect anybody's spirit. But it's for us personally tonight. Those things become addictions. The Lord wants to break the power of addiction.
Yes, Lord.
But there are many people that have been addicted to things that have started out for God and they haven't burned it and made it a heap.
Yes.
They're leaving things in their life that are fortifying their addictions. They're leaving things in their life that it's the go-to place that the enemy has. And we need to be willing to burn those things and get rid of the things in our life that the enemy has been using year after year. And we can come to the altar year after year. And we can feel guilty about things when certain things are preached about year after year. That doesn't have to continue that way tonight. There is a place of victory in the Lord. But we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm no longer going to negotiate with the enemy. Lord, I will get rid of anything in my life that you want me to get rid of. The thing that you don't want to get rid of is the very source that's going to bring you back to a place of defeat. Lord's interested in victory. Well, the entertainment world. Do you realize that the entertainment world is full of worldliness?
Yes.
Now, just because something is out there doesn't mean it's bad, right? But I'm talking about the things of the world, the lust of the flesh,
yes,
the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Amen.
Those things permeate,
yes,
permeate the entertainment of the world. The things you see that are out there, the movies, the music, the places the places to go out in the world, it is permeated and inundated with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, saints, do we expect God to give His fire and anointing in our life when we are mixing and dabbling those things in a holy walk with God? All right, there's one person that said no. But I want us to consider something tonight. This is the reason, and I've watched it through the years, so many people are not maintaining a victorious life because they don't want to give some things up in their life. I like that. I enjoy that. But are you willing to miss heaven over it?
No.
Are we willing to allow something of this world to steal that closeness with God? Are we going to allow the music that I listen to? You know, nothing's wrong with all music. Please do not misunderstand me now.
That's right.
All right? Mm-hmm. And if I made a list on the board, I'd probably miss something. I'd probably put something on that I probably shouldn't. That's why this between you and the Holy Spirit.
True.
But are there, why I have watched this, especially in young people, music has been the spiritual downfall of people over and over and over. And I wonder, what do we do about it? It's about saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And if I know this has been a downfall to me over and over, I just want to eradicate that from my life. There are some things I need to get rid of. I remember years ago when I was a young person, there was a brother and sister, and one of them had gotten saved. And their brother thought they would help their sister out who had just gotten saved, and he went and went through her music collection and took it out on the railroad tracks and blew it up with a shotgun. Now, that was not necessarily his job.
No.
That was her job. But the point was, you want to stay saved, I'm going to help you clean house. Saints, do you know that we're going to have to do some house cleaning?
Yes.
And people wonder why we don't have the victory and the anointing, because you need to clean house. You need to get rid of the things that you know have been detrimental to you spiritually.
Right.
Whether it is music, the sports world, there's nothing wrong with going out and playing volleyball or tennis and playing basketball. I'm not preaching against that. But I am saying this is what the world has idolized and lifted up in
yes.
people's time and their money and their affections. It's a god of this world.
Yes.
So as a child of God, should not we be careful not to negotiate with something that people are selling themselves out to the entertainment of the world?
Amen.
And we say, well, why does it matter? Well, how's it affecting you spiritually? I told someone a while back, they're talking about something, said, you know what, if this will draw us closer to God, if we make a change, and it'll draw us closer to God, I'm all for it. So we could all join some team somewhere and we'd all be holier, closer to God, and have more power with God. Let's go. I'll be ahead of the team. I'd like to go. But folks, the reality is people are negotiating with the world, and there's this downhill spiritually that they're following. The Lord wants us to have victory tonight. He wants us to have power. You know, one of the things that, and for the sake of time tonight, let's just read Acts chapter 19. It's a wonderful illustration in the scripture of what the message is tonight. Speaking about the work of God in Ephesus. And the gospel was preached in Ephesus, and people began to respond. And in the 17th verse, it said that fear, Acts chapter 19, verse 17, fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them which used curious arts. It's talking about magic, all right? It's talking about their own gods, their worship. It said they brought their books together and they, guess what they did? They burned them. They burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them, and they found it 50 pieces. Do you realize the reason why they burned it was that if you leave those old magic books up on the shelf,
yeah.
and one day you're feeling a little bit discouraged and just kind of one of those rough days that we all have, don't we?
Yes.
Right. Kind of sitting there in the easy chair and on the couch and kind of look up and you don't feel the presence of the Lord real strong and you're just kind of one of those days. You look up there on the shelf and there's one of your old books.
Uh-huh.
Kind of reach up there and pull it off the shelf. And we wonder why they don't still have the victory. You know, we need to quit leaving the things of this world on the shelf, saints.
Amen.
Well, I remember as a boy hearing an evangelist that came to preach. He told about a man that got saved and said the first thing he did, he went home and he took his television. May or may not hear this very much anymore. He took his television and he took it outside and they stoned it. And they stoned it. That left a real impression on me. I think there needs to be some more stonings.
Uh-huh.
But do you know the reason was? It's not the box itself, okay? This gets mixed up with a lot of people. Well, they're preaching, it's television. There's nothing wrong with the box and the wires and the electricity, and there's nothing wrong with that picture that moves, all
right?
But what we have to look at is, how does this thing affect me spiritually?
Right.
Am I, there's enough of the world out there that we have to see without bringing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life right in my home, and I let that babysit my children.
Yes.
And yet I try to tell them how to live holy and how God wants them to serve Him, and yet I am feeding them with drugs and alcohol and adultery and fornication, and I'm feeding them that in my home, and we wonder why there's a problem in our country today. Is that fair? Then it says, well, the preacher said I have to go. No, you don't have to get rid of anything for me. Don't do it for me. It won't work anyway. You'll just be resentful. There's no purpose to change for anybody. But when you begin to examine your life and say, Lord, is this an AI?
Yes.
And the Lord said, I want you to burn it and make it a heap. Because in the weak moment, one of those days, it's like, well... But you know what? I'm preaching from 50 years ago now, aren't I?
Yes.
Where are we preaching today? Where's the phone?
Okay.
All right, now. Now, don't think I'm going to meddling. I'm going to preach where we live.
Sorry.
Oh, this just turned on. I'm hearing myself preach. You know, you all have a phone, and you all have a phone. Let me ask us this. Now, we say, okay, I don't have a television. I grew up without a television. I don't have one in my home. And again, there's nothing wrong with the box. You all understand that? All right, so now guess what? Those of you that have a phone, and I have one, okay? I have one.
Yes.
But how, the question is this. Is it a tool that is being used constructively for you spiritually? If it becomes a source of entertainment, we know what the entertainment of this world is full with.
Yes.
Full of. What are we doing with it? You know, this thing has caused a whole lot more harm than any television ever did.
That's right.
Because now you don't have to go in secret down to the store in the market. You don't have to go over here. You don't have to do... You can pull in, but you have the world at your fingertips. And I'm not saying that you have to go and get rid of your phone, but I'm going to say this tonight. As Jesus said, if your eye offend you, do what?
Pluck it out.
You say, but everybody else has a phone. Are you willing to miss heaven over a phone? If this thing is a spiritual detriment to you, get rid of it.
Yes.
We grew up without them.
Yes.
I survived. We got rid. You know, though, there are some things that you may say, well, I'm going to try to be more careful.
Mm-hmm.
I got some apps. I've got some things that I like to watch on YouTube. And I'm not saying everything's wrong on YouTube. You can listen to the preaching night on YouTube.
That's right.
But I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot of stuff on there that you need to burn and make a heap of it. And this is a problem. Too many people are trying to compromise with the enemy. And they're trying to negotiate, we'll all go this far and not go this far. And in a weak moment, you know you're going too far.
Yes.
I mean, is that not true?
That's
burn AI. Get rid of the things on your phone. And it's a whole lot easier to make a clear stand against the enemy than it is to negotiate boundaries. I don't want to negotiate boundaries with the enemy. If there's something that watching something and listening to certain music and say, well, I'm kind of picking the good ones and bad ones, but I've got to get through the bad ones to get the good ones, and I know what it does to me spiritually, and it puts me in a frame of mind that is not conducive to godliness, I want to encourage you to get rid of it tonight. If there are some things that you have been doing, get rid of it. If it is hindering you spiritually, and quit. And we don't have to keep this up and down experience. We need to get rid of some things tonight. We need to eradicate things that are a hindrance. Some of the apps, some of the entertainment. And here's another one. Unforgiveness is an AI.
That's true.
Unforgiveness, something the Lord is saying, I want you to quit negotiating with a spirit of unforgiveness, and I want you to come and place it on the altar and make it a heap. It's a decision tonight. I don't want to keep having unforgiveness, but Lord, I want victory that I can start moving forward and gaining more ground with God. It means we're going to have to do something about it. We're going to have to give something up. But the Lord has something better to give to us in its place. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. Because it would be better to go through life maimed than to go in hell whole, wouldn't it? So what are we holding on to tonight? I just mentioned a couple things. You know, ungodly relationships is another one. Ungodly relationships. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If someone is a detriment to you spiritually, you need to separate fellowship. There is no place in the Scripture for someone that is saved and has a desire to serve a holy God to enter into a marriage covenant with someone that does not have the same heart and the same values, putting God first and saying, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to make you join yourself. What communion does light have with darkness? But we're in a time that people are making exceptions and people are compromising with this, thinking I can do it. Folks, it doesn't work tonight. We need to get rid of the things that the Bible teaches against. It's not about the things as much, but it's that spirit. And I want to get rid of the literal things in my life that the enemy has been using year after year. I want to eradicate it. I want to get rid of it. Lord, help us. Let's not keep going back in the weeds with the enemy. Yeah. But let's expose him for where he's been working and what he's been doing. And then it's not based. This is your phone. It's not based on everybody else. It's not based, well, I have to do it to please them. I have to do it to please her. I have to please, you know, to please. It's not about that. It's about, Lord, I want to walk with you. So tonight, I don't want you to go home and say, well, Brother Michael, he kind of meddled and he should have stuck. No. This is the Scripture. And then you look around and say, well, everybody else is doing it, so it's okay. No, it's not necessarily. Because if it's affecting you adversely spiritually, you need to get rid of it. Because you have different strengths and weaknesses than I do. And I don't want to say, look around, so well, most everybody, the pastor's children are doing it. What? Who cares? Who cares? This is about you and God now. And then when you make that decision that, Lord, I want to go to heaven. And when I recognize where the enemy's been working, I want to be willing to burn it. I want to make it a heap. I want to get rid of it. And I want to follow you with all of my heart. Cut it out. Lay it down. Wherefore, Hebrews chapter 12, 1, as we bring the service to a conclusion, wherefore, my beloved, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what does it say to do? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, here's something important. You say, but it's not sin. You know, there's a lot of things I mentioned tonight that in and of themselves, they are not sin. And I am not interested in preaching tradition or the doctrines of men as the commandments of God. Not interested in that. But I want us to understand something. There are sins, and those need to be burned up and made a heap of. But there are some weights tonight. There are some things that are hindering us spiritually that may not... We can argue about it if you want. You say, well, you can't tell me this is sin. Yes, you're right. But how is it affecting you spiritually? If it's been bringing you down, then get rid of it. You say, I want victory with God, but yet I want to cling to this thing that I say is not sin. Folks, it's not about sin or not. It's about your relationship with God. There's a story about Alexander the Great as he was marching with his army to Persia. They got to a place that they were moving very slowly, and it looked like they were going to be defeated because they had won so many victories. They were loaded up with all this loot. And they had all this baggage with them now. And finally, Alexander told his men, he said, I want you to take all of your loot and all of this baggage, and I want you to make a heap of it. Just make a pile of it. I want you to leave it behind. And there was grumbling and complaining, but they laid it aside. And some of the historians said from that moment they were just light as a feather and flew to victory. because there were things that were weighing them down, hindering them in their battles. Tonight, I want to encourage you in the love and fear of God. See, this isn't, I don't want anybody to get feel guilty tonight. But I do pray that the Holy Spirit will have touched your hearts.
Yes, amen.
And if there are things in your life that have been hindering you spiritually, are you willing tonight to say, Lord, I'm going to quit negotiating. I'm going to quit trying to have some of it. But Lord, I am willing to get this out of my life once and for all. And I'm going to lay aside the weight. And I have found in my own life, in some of those issues that aren't sin, but some of those gray areas, when I've tried to negotiate, and I know we don't like to, but these don't sound like saint terms, right? Because we know we're not supposed to negotiate with them. That's actually what we're doing. And we try to say, okay, well, I'll have this and I'll have this and go this far, and I'm going to control this. I found it's very difficult to stay there. I found it's really difficult to stay there. It's much easier to make a clean, clear decision and say, I know this is where the enemy has worked. I'm done with it. I'm finished. I'm going to say no. And when the enemy comes in a weak moment, that we all have, that clear decision is, Lord, I gave that to you. That's, I burned it. I made a heap of it. I'm not going back there. No. And that's where we will find that we can continue our journey in victory and in power. May God bless you all tonight. If you will please, where my words have been inadequate, would you take the voice of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to your heart tonight? And is there anything in your life that has continued to be a hindrance? Are you willing to lay it down and make a heap of it? Let's stand and have a song.